The following program is not medical or psychological advice. It is for entertainment purposes only. For medical or psychological advice or treatment, please contact your doctor. When life is good, it can be wonderful. But what happens when the peaks and the valleys come into play? It can be troubling, it can be anxiety-provoking, and it can create some very interesting dreams. Even just the anticipation of the next hill or valley of life and the journey that we're going to take down it can certainly cause quite a bit of anxiety. We're going to talk about that on today's episode of Dream Meetings and the importance of trying to keep our head above those situations, not only to keep the weird dreams at bay, but just to live a better and happier life when those things happen. We're going to take a listen to many dreams on today's episode of Dream Meetings. We invite you to share your dreams with us to discuss. The phone number, 800-606-7193, or you can write into us through our website at dreamingradio.com. I'm Tony Bruschi, and welcome to Dream Meetings. It was kind of funny, since I've started doing this this new show, I've been having weird dreams myself. And that's you're probably thinking, well, Tony, don't you always have weird dreams? And the answer to that is yes. But I feel like they're coming in a more frequent pace. Now you're going to ask, well, what are these dreams that you're speaking of? And I wish I could tell you. And it's not that I don't want to tell you. It's just I'm having these moments. I'm waking up at like 3:30 in the morning going, well, that was really bizarre. I'll have to talk about that on the show. And then, of course, by 6 something when I wake up, I don't have the faintest idea as to what the dream was about. So I can't tell you. This is where I need to do the whole writing down the dreams, although in the dark at 3 a.m., I don't know that that's going to happen. Maybe just a little recorder next to the bedside would be the best bet to remember some of these things. I don't know. We'll see what can be done. But I do know this. There is some correlation between some of the dreams, because I can tell you from the few pieces that I do remember when I wake up, I do remember almost the string of the dreams of, oh, I visited this place in this other dream the previous night, and here I'm back in that setting again. Now, as to what the setting is, as to why I'm there, as to the events of the dream, I couldn't tell you. But I do need to do something to start writing these things down. And then you guys maybe can give me some feedback on my own dreams. We'll see about that. The phone number to share your dreams with us is 1-800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193. Or go to our website at dreamingradio.com, fill out the form, and we may read your dream back on the air. Our first dream tonight, let's go to a letter. It comes into us from Sarah, and Sarah says, last week I dreamt that I was gone from my house, or at least overnight, the official time frame of how long I was gone, I'm sure of. But I dreamt that I walked into the basement where my room is. I saw a little crab, maybe an inch and a half wide with pincers and all. I went to step back and I saw another type of crab, kind of a lobster in nature, but quite smaller. And so I stepped away from that, and there was a large spider hiding in the pattern of my carpet. My carpet is a dark olive green and a dull gold in a vine leaf type of pattern. When I scanned the room, I saw many spiders and crabs on the floor and the walls. That is the dream. So then I ask, so what's going on in your life at the time of having this dream? And the reply is, I'm planning a trip mid-March. A couple of weeks ago, a spider was in my bathroom, and it was traumatic in the fact that I have a pretty severe arachnophobia and had a very similar dream before, about a week before this one. And my other question I ask is, what questions do you have about this dream? And she says, are the spiders a way of me having anxiety about going on my trip, knowing that where I'm going is desert and there'll be arachnids? It's about 45 minutes to the main city. Well, here's my thoughts on the dream and the experience that you had, because it sounds like there's a couple different things going on. And somewhat unknown, the way that you described the the crab-like creatures. One you clearly defined as a crab, the other one you defined as kind of almost lobster-like. So in my mind, I'm almost thinking like a crawfish or a crayfish, depending on what part of the country you're from. It's how you describe that creature. And almost kind of being camouflaged a bit in the makeup of the carpet, makeup of something that you're already familiar with, almost a regular part of your life. So I'm wondering if you're concerned, not about the trip necessarily, but about something in your life and some unknowns popping up out of it that you are unsure of, scared of, maybe have reservations of, that you can't really quite identify. Is there something that you're struggling with in your life right now? Some unknowns other than the trip, other than, you know, you're going on a trip, it's going to be a fun place, a new place, maybe, anytime you go on a trip, there can be some stress involved there. It should be a good, relaxing thing, but there usually is, at least in the planning stages, a bit of stress there. But I'm wondering if this really doesn't have anything to do with the trip and just more so reflection on what's going on in your life right now. Are there some unknowns that need some addressing? That would be the path I would be going down if I were you, and trying to identify what some of those unknowns are and do your best to address them and maybe make yourself more at ease with some of those unknowns. That's what I'm getting out of that dream. Thank you for writing in and sharing that with us. If you want to share your dream with us, get some insight into it, go ahead and send it to us on our website at dreamingradio.com, DREAMING radio.com. Let's go to a caller. Hi, you are on Dream Meanings. I'm listening.
Hi, Tony. My name is Diana Collins. And I've actually been listening to your show, The Real Ghost Stories, online for quite some time now. So anyway, get on to my dream here. So 1 year ago, this March, my best friend passed away. She lost her battle from postpartum depression, and unfortunately, we lost her to suicide. So I'm Roman Catholic, and I believe in purgatory. But in the back of my mind, I feel sometimes there's still that little bit of a stigma where when people commit suicide, it's a sin. And of course, the church no longer believes in that. It's a mental illness, right? But when we lost her, I was petrified and I was praying that God, please tell me that she's okay. Please tell me that she's not, in hell, or she's with you, and that she's okay and she's safe with the Lord. And I've had sleepless nights praying for her and thinking about her until this one night, and excuse me, I might cry because this is a dream that holds my heart very dearly. But there was this one night and I was pregnant, about 7 to 8 months pregnant. But Sabrina, that's my best friend, she came to me, and I believe it, I was at our old house, and it was in my living room. My living room was empty. We were in the process of moving. In real life, we were in the process of moving. And she came to me, and we were just sitting there. And she was in white, and she told me that she was okay. And the story of the dream was that she had to go to rehab, but she wasn't going to come back. And so she was saying her goodbyes to me, telling me that she's going to be okay. And I felt like it felt so real. And I felt in my heart that my heart was broken. And, I was sad. In my dream, I was obviously sad because she kept saying that she's going to go to rehab, but she's not going to come back. She's never going to come back. And so I gave her a hug and said my goodbyes. And then she told me that she's going to have to go. She's going to have to go now and say goodbye to everybody else. Now, she's got a very big family, so maybe that's who she obviously she was saying goodbye to. She left behind a husband and 2 kids as well. And the dream switched over to her walking away from me. And mind you, it was dark, so this was at nighttime, obviously, and she was walking away from me, but this was outside of the house, and she's walking away from me in the street. Very slowly. I mean, I And I was just looking from behind her, and she's walking away and in her white clothing. And then just, and I woke up. Now, months passed, and this dream never left me. And I'm always thinking about it, thinking about the meaning of it. And I realized that, I'm not sure if you guys are familiar with the Catholic belief in purgatory, but it's where, it's not quite heaven, but it's not hell for sure. But it's where you prepare yourself for heaven, because we're obviously natural to sin, but not like sin that takes you to hell, of course, but we're natural to sin, and it's kind of like a rehab. So maybe that's what she meant. Maybe that's where she went, and hopefully someday that she goes to heaven. And I hope that one day she will no longer have to be in purgatory. But like I said, those who are familiar with that belief, purgatory is certainly not a punishment. It's just a preparation to prepare your soul for heaven. So anyway, I've told people this story, not very much because, you know, comments are kind of, people think it's just a coincidence, but I believe slowly, strongly in my heart that this was a dream visitation, because after that dream, I never had any other ones. And I felt in my heart that she is safe and she's always watching over me. So anyway, guys, thank you so much for everything you do. Love your show. And I'm excited to hear what you guys got going on with this new podcast. Congrats. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
You know, when a loved one passes, I think we are always trying to find some sort of resolution. We're trying to find some sort of way to make sense of it, no matter what is the cause of death, from a car accident to a situation like this where someone succumbs to the horrible, horrible torment that a mental illness can cause and rain upon the person that is suffering from it. Postpartum depression, a very, very serious thing, and something that, you know, and unless you've been through it, or unless you've been with someone who's been through it, I think it's sometimes difficult to comprehend just what a menacing situation that is for the individual involved. And it is not something to be taken lightly or joked about. It's a very serious thing. But regardless of how a loved one is taken from us, we're trying to find a resolution for it. And I think our minds go down the road of trying to make sense of it and then trying to essentially make peace with it. It's the steps of grief, you know, and finally getting to the place of acceptance and being able to move forward past what happened, what the situation is. Our minds are going to try and take us there. Now, was this dream that you had with her, was it something where she came back to tell you she was okay? Was it simply your mind just trying to work with this situation and find peace with it? That is obviously a bit subjective for you to decide what you want to believe on that. But from any perspective, it could very well be a mind just wrestling with the thought, wrestling with the issue, wrestling with what had happened with your friend, and then eventually coming to make peace with it. Trying to connect the dots of saying, when she said to you in the dream, but I'm going to be going to rehab now. You know, does that mean purgatory? Does that mean this? I don't necessarily know that is the case. My gut would say no. My gut would simply say that this is something that, you know, it's terminology that you are familiar with. It's terminology that may have been used, and it's all kind of playing its part into it. But I don't know that it's necessarily any sort of purgatory. I would think that this is more so just your mind trying to find a way to make peace with this this very traumatic moment in your life. On a subconscious level, that's what I really think that dream meant. And I hope that it did. in fact, do its job and allow you to make some peace with a very traumatic situation. Thank you for sharing that that experience with us here at the show. A very horrible experience, nonetheless, but hopefully that that experience can help some others that are listening right now that may be going through something similar with a loved one. The phone number to share your story with us here at Dream Meanings is 800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193, or on our website at dreamingradio.com. You can write in your story to us there, and we may read it on a future episode of the program. Jackie writes into us and says, where to start? I think that one that sticks out with me the most is one where I died. My husband, in real life as well, and I were sledding. It was kind of woodsy, but there was a path we had made down this flat, snowy opening. I went down and spun out, and in a poof of snow, I was laughing like a maniac, urging my husband to come down. I remember sitting on my butt and raising both legs up and hitting my boots against the ground. Then there was a sickening crack, and I realized I was on ice. I broke through and went under. I remember the colors and the shock and the blackness of the opening, and I went through. And muffled shouts of my husband screaming at me, Jackie, don't you effing do this to me. And then the calm bliss that rose over all. It was so peaceful, so euphoric. That's what jolted me out of sleep. I've never done this since, but I dreamed this three more times, forcing myself to come up with a way not to die. The last one, my husband managed to get the sled rope to me so I could grab it, and he pulled me out, terrified of walking on any ice, even if it's 3 feet thick, to this day. So what was going on in your life at the time when you had this dream, I asked, and she said, I think I was actually in a pretty good place in life. I'm pretty sure I'd gotten into a school that I learned my trade. It was really over the moon. So sort of questions do you have about this, I asked. And she said, do you think this might have been a past life? Actually, maybe it was my starting a new chapter of my life. Never thought about that until right now. What do you think? So my thoughts on this are, if you could see me, it looks like I'm doing a very bad 70s dance. And it's my hand just kind of going up and down, just like the hills, just like the hills that are represented in this dream of sledding. Life is like that. There are ups, there are downs. It is not at all uncommon or something out of the ordinary to be expecting, essentially, for lack of a better term, the other shoe to drop when you are at a good, happy place in life, because life doesn't sit there forever. Anyone who's done any sort of living, unless they are insanely fortunate, does realize that you got great times, you got bad times, and it goes up and it goes down. And if you're at all an anxious person, you're going to be constantly trying to figure out when is the bad part coming? When is when is this going to end? When is this goodness that I'm experiencing right now, and you may not feel worthy of it, when is that going to all change? So I'm wondering if that is simply what this dream was about. It was you feeling a bit anxious about the success you were having in life, the good things that were going on in your life, and wondering when is it all going to change. Not necessarily a situation where you should fear drowning by sledding and going under the ice. Sure, don't sled in areas where that is a possibility. That's such a good piece of advice no matter what. But I don't think it's quite that literal. I think the hills were a bit of a metaphor for life. Things are going good. It's a happy situation. The hills are the up and down, and you hit the down and you sunk and you're afraid of how bad is it going to be, because things are really good up here on this hill right now. We're having fun. And then it all can change so fast. And it really can. You know, I am that way too. When things are going good, I'm always thinking, oh gosh, when is the next bad thing going to happen and pull me out of this happy place? And inevitably it does, because you sit there searching for it and waiting for it, and it's not that searching and waiting for it makes it happen. It's just going to happen. So it's one of those things where you have to, in life, try and stay extra positive. Try and keep yourself above the water, if you will, out from underneath that ice, even when those times come. And that's what takes some work. So it's easy to ride life and really be on top of the waves and be on top of the hills when the hills are there. It's easy to feel good about all those things in life at that moment. It's not so easy to still feel good about life and things going on in it when you're down on the thin ice. It's very difficult. But if you really, really try to pull yourself up and above those down parts of life and make an effort, you may still not be quite at the level of where you're at when you're on the hill with little assistance, but you still can get a heck of a lot further above than just succumbing and falling straight into the black hole of a ice and a frozen lake that life can take us in. But it takes some effort. It takes some thinking to really elevate yourself above that, because otherwise it is easy to get sucked into some of those black holes. It really is. I've been there. I never want to go back there. And I realized with my own self, just how I think about things and the anxieties that I have about things in life. It takes effort. It truly does, but it can be done. It's not a perfect thing, but, if you can try and stay above the darker parts, life can be good. And some perspective sometimes is good. I heard an interesting analogy the other day about this very thing. How dark is it getting in your individual life? And take politics out of it, no matter how you feel about this or that or things that are going on around us that you can or can't control. But you take a look at just your life and what's going on in it. And as dark as it may be, sometimes you have to take a look and go, well, at least the Black Plague shit's not going on right now, because that can make life really dark. If that was doing its thing right now, yeah, life could be a lot darker than where it's at this exact moment in time. I suppose it's relative to when you're listening to this podcast, depending on what the future may bring. But here's to hoping Black Plague has not decided to rear its ugly head again. But there's always going to be shitty points in life. It's a matter of us trying to find ways of sailing above them and even making good out of them. There are ways of turning, it's a stupid old saying, but it's true, turning your lemons into lemonade, finding ways to do that when things are down to keep yourself up. I know that was a tangent, but I thought it kind of warranted going down that road a bit when talking about that dream. Thank you. The phone number again, if you want to share your dream with us. I was going to say ghost story. That's our other show, Real Ghost Stories Online, by the way, in case you're interested and you're just finding this show first. Normally, for a lot of our listeners on this show, they found that other show first and have been listening to us for years. This is the newer of the two shows. If you want to share your dream with us, you can do it by calling us at 800-606-7193 or going to our website at dreamingradio.com to share your dream with us. Let's go to another caller. Hi, I'm listening.
Hi, my name is Lisa. I am calling from Bristol, Connecticut. And it's funny that you came out with this show, because I actually had a dream last night that I wanted to share about my grandmother. My grandmother, she passed away on February 14th of this year. And she was in a nursing home, and she died of a heart attack in her sleep. And, that the family wasn't able to be by her side. So that kind of bothered us a bit, and we couldn't say goodbye. But anyway, so she's been in a nursing home for a very long time. She had a stroke about, I'd say, 10 years ago, and she was basically paralyzed on her right side. So she was wheelchair bound, and she really needed to be in a nursing home. So, I didn't see her as much as I would like to have seen her, but, there's nothing I could do about that now. But anyway, so last night I had a dream that I think when I was at my mom's house, and I remember her, my grandmother, coming in the house and just sitting on the couch, and I was talking to her, and I'm like, how could you be here? You're dead. And, you know, saying things like that. I don't remember like word for word what was said, but yeah, she walked in like she had mobility and, you know, she wasn't paralyzed. So I was just so happy to have seen her like that. And she just seemed happy. And I'm just really thankful to have seen her and spoke to her again. And hopefully she'll visit me in a future dream. You know, I don't think this was paranormal related, but just the fact that I've had a dream about her so soon after her death, I don't know, it just makes me happy. Well, thank you for hearing my story, and I hope I didn't sound too bad and didn't ramble. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for sharing that experience with us. That right there, it's a good example where when we have dreams of our deceased relatives showing up and showing themselves to us doesn't always necessarily mean it is something paranormal. It is almost kind of along the lines of what we had talked about in an earlier caller today, where it's our minds trying to find some resolution for the situation, maybe for any sort of guilt that one may have. I know you had mentioned that when she passed away, some of the relatives not being able to be there, That would weigh on someone. That would certainly be an issue, you know, for a lot of people. That would certainly weigh on one's mind. So I think some of it is just that, and it's the mind trying to work out some of these things and making peace with the reality of the situation. And that's really what I think your dream was all about. It was just trying to find some peace with a situation that was very sad. So thank you for sharing that experience with us. If you want to share a dream with us, we would love to hear it and give you some insight and feedback on it. Phone number, of course, as we have said before, 800-606-7193, or our website, dreamingradio.com, DREAMING radio.com. Christine writes into us, I felt like I was a man in a group of men. I'm actually female in real life. There are many people there. Now that I think about it, I wasn't the group as a man. In an odd way, I was also in the crowd of people at the same time. These men were on display as if in a zoo. For a moment, I was standing in the exhibit looking in awe at the crowd of people. It was exhilarating. People started to leave, but I was yelling out to the crowd to be funny. We all had to go in this door where there was water all around. Maybe we were on an island? Through this door, we somehow ended up on a narrow path on a ledge. We were scared but feeling adventurous walking outside at night. From there, we found a house that was abandoned, which we used for shelter. As the night grew darker and more dangerous, people were after us, so we got scared and panicky. The bad people were coming closer, and somehow we were aware that our lives were in danger. The people came, and we didn't move. We stayed on that porch of the house, as there was some danger in the house as well. I don't know what was happening or where the others or who they were originally with us went. There were only two of us left on the porch. We've been spared from the danger we thought we would come to us via the bad people. They left as well and were no longer a threat. However, we were no longer safe on the porch. All right. So what was going on in your life when this happened? She says, this was about 15 years ago. Seeing your post on Facebook about this new podcast you're putting together inspired me to dig out my ancient dream journals. I was in my early 20s and a student at a local community college in which I was going for electric media communications, a major in cinema and studies minor. I was anxious pretty much all the time because I was unhappy and just wanted to move on with my life beyond school and my mundane part-time job I had while I was going to school. Don't get me wrong, I love school. I couldn't wait to get out of there and do more with my life. So what questions do you have about the dream? And she says, I don't really have any specific questions since this dream was many years ago. Just want to hear your thoughts on the images, etc. I often have very vivid dreams with all sorts of crazy imagery and things going on. Don't be surprised if you get multiple submissions from me. Though what it does mean or could mean when you're not seeing yourself in your dream as you are in waking life, or feeling like you're more than one person in your dream or more than one place at a time. For the most part, my dreams often highlight different emotions with various scenery and people. Okay, so my thoughts on this are as follows. Number one, it's interesting when someone is almost observing things in a dream to me. I've never had a dream where I was just a simple observer. I've always dreamt as myself going through a situation. But sometimes people dream almost like it's television and you're watching some other people. So I'm wondering if it sounds like that was some of that going on within this dream, almost like if you were watching a movie and the fear that you feel when watching a movie, if it's a scary movie, is almost the same sort of fear you were feeling in this situation, observing these people in these places and these situations, and you were essentially behind the camera watching all this. What does it all come down to? You know, without knowing every single specific thing that was going on in your life at the time, I'm going to, you know, rack a lot of this just straight up to anxiety. That's really what it sounds like. It sounds like a lot of, you know, unsure about what's going to be happening in the future, even though you may be confident and you're excited and the path you're on, you're good with, you know, leaving school, leaving that part of your life and venturing out to something new, there's a certain amount of anxiety there. And if you already are an anxious person, that is going to be playing into your dreams, the not knowing what's happening next. What's life going to be like 6 months from now, a year from now? And I think that is really kind of what was plaguing you in this dream. The life's changing. Things are changing. We're going to move over here. There's obstacles over here. There's this pool of water here. There's this house that may have some things. And it's a constant what if, the constant, oh my gosh, how am I going to handle this situation or these possible situations that I still don't know anything about because I'm not there yet. That anxiety is sounding like what was coming to the surface on that dream. And obviously you've moved on in life and things have changed and hopefully all for the better. But I think that's really all it was. It was a dream of an anxious person. Thanks for sharing that with us here on the show. The phone number, again, if you want to share your dream with us, is 800-606-7193, 1-800-606-7193. Okay, let's go to another letter. It's from Patricia. It says, hi, I've been listening to your show, Real Ghost Stories Online, now for about 2.5 years, and I've been very excited about this new podcast. I've been wanting to share this dream for a while, but always talk myself out of it. I guess this is a perfect time to share it. This dream was from when I was pregnant with my son, about a week before we had the ultrasound appointment where they would tell us whether he was a boy or a girl. I had a cousin who had passed away a few years before this and dream about him occasionally. I was not particularly close to him and initially assumed these dreams were just me missing the relationship I never had with him. I was anxious to find out what we were going to have so I could start planning the nursery. We were planning a custom superhero themed nursery for a boy or going back to the drawing board if it was a girl. So I wanted to start ASAP and was impatient to find out what we were having. That night, before I fell asleep, I asked in my mind that someone come to me in my dream and show me if we were having a boy or if we were having a girl. I remember reading about this somewhere, being a believing skeptic, someone in between being a believer and a full-on skeptic of life beyond our physical bodies. I absolutely had no expectations that anything would actually happen. That night, I dreamt of that same cousin coming to me and saying, "This is your son," and revealing a young boy about the age of 9 in a surfer boy outfit at the beach at sunset. This boy had dirty blonde hair, tan skin, and greenish eyes. When I woke the next day, I thought, oh, that must mean I'm having a boy, but still waited until the ultrasound a week later to confirm he was indeed a boy, because I am, after all, a skeptic. Another reason I was skeptical is because the boy in my dream looked nothing like what I would expect my son to look like. I'm a full-blooded Mexican and have dark hair, fair skin, and brown eyes. My husband is half Thai and half Italian and also has dark hair, fair skin, and hazel eyes. Three of four grandparents to my son have dark hair and dark to light skin. The fourth grandparent, my husband's father, has dirty blonde hair, light skin, and green eyes. I never have thought that his genes would obliterate the others, especially since his own children didn't take the genes. But boy, was I wrong. 5 months after my dream, I gave birth to a healthy baby boy with, you guessed it, dirty blonde hair and greenish eyes. They changed colors. Suffice to say, I became a believer on this day. As far as the beach where I dropped my son, I felt that it was in California, specifically in San Diego. We lived in Louisiana at the time we had our son and recently moved back to our home state of Arizona. I don't know if this dream also means that we'll eventually move to San Diego or California. My son is currently 3 years old, so I guess we'll just have to find out if the location has any literal meaning. So when I asked the question, what was going on when this happened? She said, obviously, I was pregnant with my son, first pregnancy, and my sensitivities to the spiritual side of life were very much heightened. I had several dreams and premonitions about the pregnancy itself. The way I found out I was pregnant was when an external thought, one that did not originate in my mind, and was more of a knowing than a thought, came to my head and stated, "You're pregnant," about a week before I could take the test to verify it. So sort of questions do you have, I ask? She says, has anyone had a similar dream or had heightened sensitivities during their pregnancy? And the answer to that is yes. We hear that quite often on our ghost show about people being pregnant and sensitivities being heightened. I think this is just a normal thing with pregnancy. Of course, a lot of times outside of the ghost show, you're just going to really hear about, I'm more sensitive to sound, to light, to my own emotions. You know, being more sensitive to worlds of paranormal are not necessarily so commonly talked about. Although, based on the amount of stories that we get on the other show, I do feel probably fairly commonly experienced, whether recognized or not. Very, very interesting to have the story of a cousin that you weren't even close to being able to come back and give you that information. It's really interesting, the relationships that we have in life with our relatives, you know, and specifically our cousins. Have you ever been to a family reunion where you meet a cousin or a second cousin and you get along wonderfully, but they live on some other part of the country or far, far away? But had you been in the same town, in the same place, or growing up at the same time, that probably could have been a wonderful relationship, you know, throughout life, but because of the circumstances of life, that was never allowed to grow and develop and to create that bond. And I'm wondering if that bond is just there. It just exists and there's nothing that can really change it. But unfortunately, because of the circumstances where life physically was, you two never, you know, in this world, we're able to realize that bond that you had, but it's there and he's still there and now living out that bond on the other side with you. I wonder if that's kind of going on, if that's something that you'd subscribe to in terms of beliefs. It's interesting, though, just how similar, you know, obviously it's very common that relatives have a lot of similarities and similar beliefs. Sometimes it's not too, but it's amazing just how similar interests can be, especially when it comes to a blood relative, how similar paths or interests people may have for never actually being close to that person or even know about that other person's interests or passions in life, you know, until a chance meeting, you know, years later. There's obviously something to that. Thank you for sharing that experience with us here on Dream Meanings. And that's going to wrap up our second episode of Dream Meanings. Thank you guys for writing in. Thank you for calling in your stories. We greatly, greatly appreciate that. Please keep those coming to us. We can keep putting out episodes for you here at Dream Meanings. The phone number, again, to share your dreams, 800-606-7193. You can do it anonymously if you like. You can even write it on our website at dreamingradio.com. Keep those dreams coming. Can't wait to hear more and talk about more on our next episode of Dream Meanings. I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.